الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله. أما بعد، إياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to the translation of this khutbah of today, which is titled by the fitan and the position of the Muslim in their times. I began the khutbah by mentioning the hadith that Imam Bukhari and Muslim reported, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said there will exist fitan, and this is an information which cannot be either right or wrong, or possible to happen or not, but it will definitely happen. It will happen definitely, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who informed us, and there is no way that can happen and it cannot happen, but it will only happen. And it happened all the past, all along all the history of Islam happened, from the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu until today, it didn't stop. And it will not stop, it will continue. Now we don't want to say that we are going to stop the fitan, no, but we want to protect ourselves and our families, our brothers, the Muslims from the fitan. Because the fitan, the example of the fitan is the example of the wind. You cannot stop the wind, but you can have a shelter from the wind. So what you need to do is to have the shelter, which is the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said there will be fitan. There will exist. The fitan will exist. And this fitan he described, and he said, the one who is during their times, the one who is sitting down, is more safe than the one who is standing. Is better than the one who is standing. Meaning, in more safe. He is better than the one who is standing in them. And you can't imagine that if you have the example of wind. When there is a wind, people are standing and you are sitting, you will receive little of the harm of the wind. Not like the ones who are standing, because they are exposing to it, exposing themselves to it, and at the same time they are forming like a shelter for you, because you are sitting down. And then the one who is standing, although he is in danger, but he is still better than the one who is walking. Why? Because when you are standing, you are more stable than the one who is walking. The one who is walking have no control. When you are walking, you may collapse, you may fall on your face. And then he said, and the one, although he's in this high risk, but yet he is still better than the one who is jogging or running. The one who is jogging or running. Naam, is better than the one who is jogging or running. Why? Because when you are running or jogging, you lose more control than when you are walking. Naam, so you cannot have a good control over your body. And then Rasulullah said, and whoever exposed himself to the fitan, now he in this position is like the one who exposed himself to the wind or to the wave in the sea. Now imagine if there is a very big wind, very strong wind, and you face it, and instead of taking a shelter, you face it. What will happen? Definitely you are going to be harmed, if not killed. And imagine when there is a wave or flood and you face it, what will happen? You're going to be driven away and killed. Now, So this is the light of the fitan. This is the example of the fitan. You never say, I know myself, I trust my power. Let me just face it. No, akhi. Don't say, let me go with these demonstrators and see what will happen. I know, I have knowledge. No, akhi. Don't put yourself in these positions. Simply because the one who told you not is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even the people who have some wisdom, even if they are kuffar, they know this type of thing, the fitan, the trials, is only brings evil. So, Isa sallam said, who exposed himself to the fitan, it will drive him away. Tastashribu means, and will take him with it. It will not leave him where he is. Imagine now, a wind, a flood, a wave coming, big wave. Will you remain where you were? No, you will not. It will drive you away. And then you find yourself in the prison of the others. Or in the graveyard of the others. Or maybe for wild animals to eat your body after being killed. Like what it is today, Ikhwan. You have no eyes, I'm wondering, and subhanAllah. How the people are dealing. They don't have eyes to see. They see every day and night. They see over the media. They see how the corruption in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Libya, in Yemen, in Bahrain, in before that in Iraq, in Afghanistan, many, many places, Ikhwan. Many, many places. See the corruption that existed. But yet, they still want to try it. Like a child. You see the 1 year baby? If you put a burning coal, he will still try and touch it. Even if it burns him, a moment, 1 minute, 2 minutes, he forgets, and he still come back to touch it. These are like 1 year old baby. Subhanallah. They are seeing, not in a while, but right after one and each other. But yet, they try to do same. So this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. It is not a statement of a politician. It is not a declaration from press. It is not a call from ماذا قلنا ثوري the person himself, revolutionary. It is not a call from a revolutionary, but it is a prophetical statement. It's a revelation, not a revolution. It's a revelation from Allah, not a revolution from people, mankind. Allah is telling us, as in the other hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, which is in Sunnah Abi Dawud and authenticated by Albani. And I want you, Ikhwan, always when I say any hadith, please, or ayah, record it, register it, and go check. I will never ever send a client this member. Cheated you. I never cheated you. I never gave you anything that is wrong. Unless I thought it is right, and then I was corrected, and I come back on the other Jum'ah, and I clarified on the member that I was wrong. But I would never ever cheat you. I would never ever beautify the dirt for you to see it as something good. I would never ever do that. Because I only follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I know that many people may not like this. They want to hear something against rulers. They are so enthusiastic to go and, you know, demonstrate and... But we are not people who courage for this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the fitan in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He said, إنها ستكون فتن فتن كقطع الليل المظلم. He said there will be fitr. And this fitr is as dark as some parts of the night, which is chewed up. During the month, for example, during the month, only at the middle of the month, you can see the light of the moon. Although it's still not yet enough for one to take it as a light, but it's still a light. And at the beginning of the month and at the end of the month, it's too dark, you don't see nothing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believer may spend the night and he may go to bed as a believer, having his belief with him. Why? Because the fitna hasn't yet existed. And then in the morning he becomes kafir. How? He goes out of his house and he finds the fitna spread already. And then he goes with them. So they will sooner or later take him out of awake in the day with iman. Alhamdulillah. And in the evening, put on the TV and he sees that the people are demonstrating, so he goes with them. Subhanallah. Where is your iman that used to be with you in the morning? Where is it? Subhanallah. In the other hadith, he said, يَبِيعُ نَفْسَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ. He sells himself for something little of the wealth of this dunya. That's what they are claiming today. In the Tahrir Square, in Cairo, in Tunisia, in Libya, and everywhere they say they want money. They want money. And I was wondering, okay, those people want money. Why people are demonstrating in Saudi Arabia? Why? Why Saudis are demonstrating? If only one of them bought a taxi and walk on it, he will find, alhamdulillah, lost. If he just do that. And there are lots of works, lots of opportunities, but they don't want. They just want demonstration. And at the demonstration, as you saw in many other countries, they say peaceful demonstration. And on the way, they break shops and burn cars and rape women. Like what happened in Egypt and everywhere. They rape women. Why do you do that? You cannot guarantee a peaceful demonstration. Never, ever. And I challenge to show me one. Because it is, if it is good, why Allah Ta'ala didn't present it to us? Why He didn't tell us about it? Why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that this is only evil? Now, and then look to the example that we need to take. The Sahaba, they are our example. They said to Rasulullah, they asked him, and we have to ask our ulama, and I mean the ulama, who spend at least 2/3 of their lives seeking knowledge, teaching knowledge, and they are witness that they are the highest quality of ulama. Not anyone wears ghutra and bisht and claims a member is a alim. Not anyone come on a TV channel and speak enthusiastically will be a alim. It's not anyone who has DR, capital B, small r, dot is a alim. No, no. Most of them are even nothing. When you weigh them, weigh their ilm, you see them nothing. The ulama are the like of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Sheikh, the Mufti, Sheikh Fawzan, the Haidan, and the like. Those who spend their lives only seeking knowledge, teaching knowledge. And you never ever hear any wrong of their mouths. They always speak of good. One day, just recently, I received an email with video khutbah of one of those who carry capital D, small r, dots, and well known, famous to the Arabs and to the non-Arabs, even the non-Arabs, he's Saudi. On the member, he mentioned names of some of the rulers and started spitting. Why? Doing ruqya? No, he's saying tuf to their faces. Subhanallah, face? It's not allowed even with the kuffar. Hitting is not allowed. Hitting. Rasulullah said, you don't hit the face. Even with the kuffar. And some ulama said, even with animals. You don't hit the face. Spitting on the faces of mankind. If they are kuffar, pure kuffar, Christians, Buddhists, whatsoever, it's not allowed. What about it with Muslims? Disobedience. What about it with the rulers? Subhanallah. And where? On the member. Where is the respect of the member? Where is the respect of the masjid? Where is the respect of the audience who are sitting, leaving their jobs, their families, and coming to you to guide them? And now you're just doing that worse than the media. And the media, wallahi, they don't allow. If he does that on any TV channel, the interviewer would say to him, excuse me, Sheikh, you are not allowed to do this. But he's doing it. And unfortunately, none of the audience said nothing to him, because there are people who like this. Allah musta'an. Maybe some of them who doesn't, but maybe they feel any scared to say nothing. To say anything and then be harmed. Subhanallah. And he mentioned names of kuffar of some rulers of kuffar, and then when he wanted to mention some names of these rulers, Muslim rulers, he said, I don't want to bring najasa to the member by mentioning the name. Subhanallah, some of them maybe Muhammad, maybe Ali, maybe this. How can you say that? The name of the kuffar doesn't bring any dirt to the member, but names of Muslims bring the dirt to the member. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Sahaba, our example, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said this about the fitr. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, what do you command us to do? And look now, Akhwan, look the question. What do you command us to do? What do you order us to do? What should we do when we see this? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kunu ahlasa buyutikum. Be ahlas of your houses. What is ahlas? Ahlas is plural of hils in Arabic. And hils is the carpet. The old carpet. You remember the old carpet made of the palm tree leaves? Palm tree leaves? This, when you put it on the floor and you keep using it like that, in a while and water come on it and like that, in a while it sticks like glue to the ground. So he is telling us to stick, to the ground of our houses, to the floor of our houses, like this old calf is dead. Never come out when you see the fitna. That's what Rasulullah said. Why? Because the fitna have split the ummah into two campaigns. As you see, in every country, two. Allah musta'an. And the one house to two enemies. To limit that, the brother kills his brother. And the father kills his son, and the son kills his father. Because one is supporting this party, and the other is supporting the other party. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah is telling us the characteristics of this fitna, or not characteristics, he's giving us the signs of the times when the fitna is going to exist. He's telling us, he said the time will be very close, meaning the day is like, or the week is like a day. It doesn't mean that the week becomes, or the day becomes 13 hours. No, but there is no barakah, there is no blessing on the time. No blessing. I still remember last week when we were sitting here, who was sitting where? Because it's gone like that, very fast. And that's the meaning of it. Today we are living in it. Everyone is complaining that, oh, wallah, I have no time to do this, I have no time to do that. I plan to do it, but I don't know how the time was. That is the meaning of it. Now, and he said, وَيَنْقُصُ الْعَمَلِ. What is amal here? Work? Yani business? Job? No. It is now increasing. At this time, it's much more, every one of you knows from his town or country, how it was 30 years back, and how it is today. Like here in Jeddah, where I was born and grown, in the downtown area, wallahi, this what you see today, 30, 40 years back, when we were children, by Maghrib, even men cannot walk in those streets, because they are too dark, no shops, no lights, nothing. It's like this area. Today you go, even 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you still see shops open, and lights everywhere. There are shops everywhere. So business is there. Business is much more than it before. So what is the meaning of amal that get lesser? It's the worshipping amal. The amal of worship. That's true. How much the worshippers are today? How many people fast today, 3 days of the middle of the month? How many people fast Mondays and Thursdays? How many people fast this kind of thing? How many people give sadaqah? And how much sadaqah is given? How many people perform umrah here from Jeddah? Only maybe 45 minutes away from Mecca. How many times people go for umrah, for example? How many times people do hajj, even people of Mecca? People of Mecca, living in Mecca. No need for any permit, no need for wasting any money. If they are so greedy, they can go to Mina and come back to their rooms. All day in their rooms, all night in Mina. But how many times they do hajj? Very little. Why? Because the amal is little. Everyone is saying, I'm praying 5 times a day. Alhamdulillah, he's a prophet now. Allah musta'an. So the good deed is going to decrease. And that's what it is today. وَيُلْقَ الشُّحَ. And greed will be spreaded on hearts. Everyone becomes very selfish, stingy and greedy. He doesn't want to spend nothing. He maybe receive high salary, but yet you ask him for donation for a masjid. Allah, this month I have some commitments. What commitments? I want to buy this, the dish, the satellite dish. I plan to bring my kids a 50 by 20 TV screen plasma. Subhanallah, is this the thing that you... Oh, I plan, really, I'm saving money these days because I plan after 30 years I own a house. Subhanallah, you guarantee you live 30 years? Build your house in the Jannah first. First build your house in the Jannah. That house would never deteriorate. Or this house would be deteriorated, sold, demolished, taken away from your family, from you. Allah Musta'an. And Isa Salam said, وَيَكْثُرُ الْحَرْجُ. And the hajj become, yani, too much. Too much. Widely seen. Now what is hajj? This is not my question, this is the question of the Sahaba. They asked Isa Salam, what is hajj? So they did not know what it is. Isa Salam told them what it is. He said, Al-Qatil, Al-Qatil, killing, killing, for no reason. And this hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, in the hadith of Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ibadatu fil harji ka hijratin ilayya. So harji is mentioned again here. Al-ibadatu fil harji, he said the worship at the time, in the times when killing is spread like today, equals the reward of migrating to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime. Like if you were alive at this time and you migrated, that is the reward you are going to be given. And do you know when these fitan exist? Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who told us. He said when the treasures of Allah is opened. When the treasures of Allah are opened for people. And what it is, if it is not what we see today. These countries are very poor countries. Wallahi, I remember 30, 40, 40 years back, if we had breakfast, we cannot have lunch. If we had lunch, we cannot have dinner. Here in Jeddah. And we were so poor to limits that even, wallahi, we wanted to, and when one of us sick, we used to go to the main hospital in Bab Sharif. If you know Bab Sharif today, where the police station, there is a big parking area, that was the hospital of Jeddah. We used to go there, and doctor sees us, and if he says injection, you know what? There is only two injections in the whole hospital. But in a box, over a stove, boiling. Then they take it with pliers, and they put the medicine, and inject. If he prescribe syrup, then we go outside and see women from Africa sitting there. They sell, you know what bottles they sell? They sell the Pepsi Cola bottle, whatsoever, like this. You know the American hot sauce bottle? They sell like that, and we take it to the farm shed. And the doctor writes how many millimeters he should fill. And if he prescribes tablets, he writes how many tablets we to be given. And then they give us enhanced. They count you. I'm not telling you that my grandfather told me. I am telling you. I saw this. You want to see? I can't soil my foot. See my foot? I had an accident when I was a child. If this happened today, it would not be like this. See how? And the guy who done this is only a nurse. Because no doctors, no good doctors. We used to have here hospitals from Pakistan, complete hospital. No one, you know where Maidan al-Bay'ah, Bay'ah Square, where the foreign ministry building, and there were the old buildings, the old buildings, there was the Pakistani hospital. And we had a Lebanese hospital. Today we are spending on to Pakistan and Lebanon and others because Allah Ta'ala gave us the treasure, the oil. Alhamdulillah. Great name.
So he saw Salam is saying, but this great ni'mah does not come for no any reason. It does not come for no any price. There must be a price. What is the price here? It accompanies with the fitr. We are not in Yawm al-Qiyamah, so you only get everything good. No. Here is a test. You are here under the test. Allah gives you the treasure and gives you the fitna to see what you do. As in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that. So he saw Salam said, as in the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is reported by Imam Ahmad Abu Dawud and others and is authenticated by Albani, she said that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and woke up very scared and worried. Naam, and he said, Subhanallah, glory be Allah. Mada anzal Allah min khazain? What Allah has sent down of the treasures? Wa mada anzal min al-fitan? And what He sent down of the fitan? At the same time, the treasure of Allah sent down. Not all of it, some of it. And it's like even lesser than a drop in the ocean. And at the same time, he sent down fitan to see what people do. Are they going to be thankful to their Lord? Or disthankful or unthankful? And in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, which is reported by Imam Ahmad Abu Dawud and others, and authenticated by Al-Albani, Abdullah ibn Amr al-As said, one day we were around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surrounding him. When the fitan were mentioned before him, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, these fitan are going to exist when? He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ النَّاسَ قَدْ مَرَجَتْ عُهُودُهُمْ. When you see the people, do not stick to and fulfill their covenant. They have a covenant with you, they have agreement with you, and they don't stick to it. Is it so wondering today? Now, if you see a man who sticks to his covenant and promise and agreement, it is the thing that is wondering today. It is the thing that is wondering today. Now, وَخَفَّتْ أَمَانَاتُهُمْ, and their amana become so little. Look at it today. Most of the people are workers today. Most of the people of today are workers. Most of the people are workers. Do they do their duty that they are paid for? Wallahi not. If you can't find one and every organization, most of them, they either delay, they say that they need to go to the toilet and they take half an hour, 1 hour. They say, oh, I'm going to bring my kids from school, and they take 2 hours above. And they know that this is not their right. The problem is they go to the other department for something they need from them, and they find the employee is not there. Oh, he's excused, he's gone to bring his kids. Or he's gone to the hospital, or he's gone to eat his breakfast. Akhi, I'm here for 1 hour, 2 hours, where is he? How's Subhanallah. When you did that in your development, you did not say that. But because the people today are the life, they have no amana. Naam. They lost all their trust. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As said then, and this is what we need to do, like the first hadith, the Sahaba asked, what do you command us to do? And now, Abdullah ibn Amr, he said, فَقُمْتُ إِلَيْهِ He said, I stood up and came to Rasulullah and said, and I asked him, how do you want me to, what should I do? What should I do? May Allah make me the sacrifice for you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, in zambaytak, stick to your house. Be in your house. Don't come out of your house. Don't join them in their demonstrations. Don't join them in anything like that. وَأَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ And control your tongue. It's not only not to go. Sometimes the tongue is worse than sword. And it's not to stay in your to sit in your house behind the paltok or internet and cause people to go. This is even worse. But stick to your house and do what he is going to command you now to do. He said, and only take what you know. What do you know of what? What do you know of the sunnah? If you don't know that this is sunnah, then don't take it, don't go to it. If there is no dalil for it, then don't take it. Don't take it. Naam. And as in the other hadith, the one we mentioned earlier, that Rasulullah said what? He said, in worship at the time of fitna, the reward of it is like the reward of migrating to Rasulullah. And this is the meaning, and then he said, and only get involved in your own business. And abandon and leave the matters of the arm of the common people or the others, maybe. Don't care about them. Even if the whole country go out for demonstration, you don't go out. You stay home. You stay home. Now, this was the first khutbah. The second khutbah, I began by praising Allah and then sending peace and blessing to Rasulullah. And then I said, here, I'm going to present to you some of the fatawa in regard to the demonstrations. Are they allowed or not? And I brought some fatawa for some ulama who passed away. So no one come tell me that these are only with the rulers. They are passed away already. First one is the muhaddith of this time, Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah. When he spoke about the hadith in his book, Silsilat al-Hadith al-Da'ifah, when he spoke about the hadith which contains the story of the of the Islam of Umar, when he embraced Islam, and there in that hadith, it says that Umar radiallahu anhu told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, are we upon the truth? He said, yes. He said, then we'll go. Hamza on a queue, and I'm on a queue. And we'll get into the Masjid al-Haram. They like or they don't. So they went. This hadith, now, a hadith, ya ikhwan. How can we examine the hadith? How can we know the hadith is proper or not? We have to go back to the scholars of hadith. They're the ones. If I want to know this disease, if it is this or that, and to whom I go? To the medicine doctor, right? He will tell me whether this is, for example, diarrhea or virus or whatsoever. If I want to know, for example, whatsoever fear, if I want to know that this paint is good or not, to whom should I go? To a carpenter? To a car mechanic? I should go to the painter. He is the one who is expert and he knows what it is. If I want to know if this yellow twinkling piece of thing, gold or not, then I should only go to the goldsmith. And he is going to examine it and tell me Now, here, Shaykh Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, said this hadith is munkar. You know what is munkar? Munkar is one of the worst narrations. Never can be accepted. And never to be mentioned unless to warn against it. That's it. That is the only case you mention this hadith. It's munkar. It's a lie. How come you say? And then you said after that, and maybe this is the cause or one of the causes that some of our brothers who are du'at to the Sharia, yani du'at, da'i, you know da'i, caller. Now, they may take as a proof for demonstration that it is legislated. Now, and he said demonstrations which are known today. And some of the and he said and some of the du'at they may use it. Jama'at Islamiyah, the Islamic parties, and they ignore that it is only from the habits and ways of the kuffar, cultures of the kuffar. Demonstrations came only from the West. The East, even the kuffar in the East, like in India, they did not know demonstrations in the past. Even in Africa, all the kuffar, whatever religion they are upon, they did not know what is demonstration. It is only an innovation of the West. The kuffar in the West. They wrote this to say that we are very democratic. Why? So we allow people. Wallahi, they are liars. Why there are many killings? Because they sent some people from the back. Armed, and they go kill the people. And then they come on the media and say, oh, we object this is not correct. It's all a lie. The only truth is what Rasulullah is telling you. The only truth. And here Shaykh Ibn Baz, the Imam of this time, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked, is demonstration for men and women against the rulers, is it considered to be a way of da'wah? A way of da'wah to Islam? And is the one who dies during them is considered to be a martyr or for the sake of Allah? The Shaykh said, I don't count these demonstrations whether for women or for men as from the remedy. It's not from the remedy. But I count it to be from the causes of the fitr and the causes of evil and the causes of oppressing other people. And and also it's an aversion to the rulers and destroying of the rules. And then he said, but I see and I count the legislated causes of correction is in writing to the rulers, advising them verbally, calling to the good, in a peaceful way, which the people of knowledge take. Look at this condition. Which the people of knowledge take. Now, and that which the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ before them took. And that the tabi'in, the students of the companions, took. Writing and verbal advising to the Amir or the people who are in authority and contacting them, advising them without exposing their mistakes to the public, on the members or any other means, saying that the ruler did this, The royal did that, subhanAllah. What is that, Ikhwan? What is that? And even those helpers of the ruler who is oppressing the public, as they say, I'm wondering, they were the lashers of the ruler. Now when they found it a chance for exposing themselves as mashallah, they were known for 30-40 years as helper of the one who used to only punish the people, as they say now. When they came out, when? The question is, when? What time they came out of the regime? Only when they saw the demonstration getting bigger, and the West is supporting the demonstration. They knew that. And they knew that the rulers are going to drop. Right? Then they came to say, oh, we are noble. Noble, your hand is still dirty of blood. Now you cause the people to go and fight against the ruler? Wallahi, these are the shayateen. Wallahi, these are the shayateen. These are the shayateen. They are causing people to fight. Ya akhi, if you see that this ruler is oppressing the ummah, why you spend with him 30, 40 years, 20 years helping him? Okay, this was a mistake. Now you correct the mistake with worse mistake? You should drop yourself and say, khalas, enough is enough. I'm not going to join no team. But not to come and form a new regime against the regime who has the power and fighters and subhanAllah, and cause more fitna. And cause more fitna. SubhanAllah. And the people counting them heroes. SubhanAllah. Yesterday they were the ones who killed your father, killed your brother, tossed you in the jail, in prison. Now just because he agreed with you in the demonstration, he's a hero now? SubhanAllah. He said, yes, he could have said, he could have spoken the truth against the Taghiyah. Because he is now looking for a position. And he's finding it with other than this Taghiyah. Why, he didn't say it that time. So who is the Taghiyah now? These are the Taghiyahs. These are the Taghiyahs. These are the fitna makers. These are the fitna makers. Don't believe them, wallahi. Don't believe them. SubhanAllah. And then, here is the fatwa of Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He was asked, in regard to the rulers who do not use the law of Islam in their rulings, and they allow us for demonstration, they say it is permitted. It is allowed. A Muslim ruler doesn't use the law of Islam. And then he allowed them for demonstration. He said, okay, you want demonstration, you go out. I was asked a question from a Muslim country that the ruler allowed the people openly on the TV. He said, okay, we are going to allow khamr served in hotels which are used by kuffar. I want the people to come out on demonstrations, whether they accept or not, to see who agrees, who doesn't. And they called me, they said, we are going to go on a demonstration to object it. Is this allowed? I said, no, akhi. No. I asked you, do you know that khamr is haram in Islam? He said, yes. I said, how did you know? He said, in the Quran. I said, do we not need now to give any more clarification? The Quran is saying it is haram. The ruler cannot read it, it's haram. But now, he's done something wrong, and he wants you to do something wrong too. So why you join, why you go? You don't go. This is against what Allah Ta'ala said. And here, what Sheikh Uthaymeen says, you can listen to it. And he said, and the questioner said that, so this ruler allows some people to do it, right? And he said that these are peaceful demonstration, no destroying, nothing. They just go out raising signs, no for khamr, no for khamr, no for khamr. All enough ruler, enough, we don't want you. Leave, leave. He said, the question is still saying that with conditions that the ruler makes. If you want to go on demonstration, you do this, you don't do this, you do, right? And when people object this, those demonstrators say, we are not demonstrating against the ruler. We are doing what he said he wants us to do. Look what the Sheikh says. He said, take the way of the Salaf. Easy. Period. Take the way of the Sahaba. Take the way of the Tabi'een. That's it. Now, we are not so poor ummah to look for examples today. The examples are there. Alhamdulillah. Prophet Sallallahu Sahaba and their students. So we don't need any new example today. Even our ulama are only following those examples. Now, so he Sheikh said, if it was found there at their time, then take it is good. But if it wasn't found there, then it must be evil. It must be bad. Now, and then he said, and no doubt that the demonstration is only evil, because it leads only to a miss. It leads only to a miss from those demonstrators and from the others. Like in Egypt, they were demonstrating in Tahrir Square, and suddenly some others came with horses and this, and fought and killed them. And these ones say, oh, these with the ruler. And the others say, no, those with the ruler with this. You don't know who's who. You don't know who's who. Maybe they are who. Allah knows best. Maybe they are who are looking to destroy the Ummah of Islam. Huh? And then the Sheikh said, and there might be some aggression against innocent people. Maybe they're honors. Like what happened? Raping. Happened. Raping. They raped women. Subhanallah. And maybe robbing shops and banks. Even the ATM machine they broke and took the money from. And maybe bodies. They harm and kill many. Because the statement is for the Sheikh now. All of that was for the Sheikh. He said, because when the people are in the middle of this mess, man is like a drunk. A person at that time is like a drunk person. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know to which direction he goes. He doesn't know what he says. So demonstration is all evil. Whether the ruler allowed it or he doesn't. Then the permission of some of the rulers for demonstration to be is only type of commerce. So that they are, that he is a democratic person. It's a democracy now, we allow it. But as he said, he himself in his heart hates it. How come a ruler wants people to go out and say he is bad, he is this, drove him? How come? No one would like that. No one would like that. Now, and here is a statement of one of the existing ulama, the Muhaddith of Medina and the Muhaddith of the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, hafizahullah. He was asked about a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. He was asked, those people who go on demonstrations today for the high prices, that's what you hear today. Oh, no jobs, salaries are low, things are expensive. Now, he said, people who demonstrate for living purposes, like that, and aggression, is this yani, like what yani, in that hadith, the Shaykh said, these actions, these things, and the like, is from Safa. You know Safa? Foolishness. Madness. Now, and these things are not known to the Salaf. Are not known, meaning to the Salaf, to the Christ's predecessors. But it is something found only today, and the Muslims only took it from the Kuffar. That's the truth. That's the truth. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, says, is also one of the living ulama. He says, rarely demonstrations, Islam is free from it. Islam is free from demonstrations. And Islam never ever allowed the myths and the and never ever Islam allows the myths and the insecure or the insecurity or the loss of security. Now, or the placement of security with fear. Now, Islam never agrees on that. And never agrees destroying souls and wealth and churches and properties. And Islam does not allow this type of mocking the rulership in Islam. The position of rulers in Islam. It's not allowed. You have to respect the rulers. Can you do demonstration against your father? Where is the respect of father? Is it from democracy to stand to the face of your father and say to him, you are bad, you are a brother. Is this something good? Subhanallah. The ruler is more important than the father, the ikhwan. Because your father is the father of yours only. But the ruler is for all. For you, and your father, and your mother, and everyone else. So we have to respect the rulers. It does not mean we accept their force practicing. But there are other means and other ways to advise and correct. Now, and then he said, and our religion is the religion of ruling, rules, systems, and forbidding and abandoning any destruction, any form of destruction. And then he said, and when the masajid are used for starting the demonstration or encouraging for demonstration on the members and in the masjid, causing people to go and demonstrate, he said that this is even worse and even more evil. Why? He said, because it's a disrespect to the masajid. It's a disrespect to the masajid. And it's going to cause fear to those who come to the masjid for worshipping. Now, because if we come to the masjid and all the people in the masjid are going now for demonstration and he decided not to go, he's not, and he's now maybe harmed. Now, so he said as a conclusion, these masajid are only built for the remembrance of Allah and prayer and worship and tranquility and peace. That's it. If we can't find this in the masajid, then where? If we are not, like one, most of the people today, they don't go to the classes of Islamic ilm, they don't go to the colleges, they don't go nothing. Only they come to Jum'ah. If even the Jum'ah, they are not told their mistakes in their worships, then when are they going to be corrected? When are they going to be corrected? Instead of correcting them with their laws, you correct them with their incomes. You use the number only to show them how to have better income and more income by demonstration. Nah, this is wrong, Akhi. They are here, you have to respect this audience. They are not foolish, they are not children. They came here, they cut some of their time to come and sit and listen to you to tell them something benefit them. and a wise politics, then most of them may be much more bitter than you in. So you have to respect the people and tell them the truth. That's all of the khutbah of today. Wallahu ta'ala alamu sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi sallam. If you have any questions related to the topic, otherwise inshallah we go for the message. Sorry? Say it again. Mocking the rulers? Huh? No, Sheikh Fawzan. I have some more statements of the ulama, but time is. Otherwise, Hadevi spoke, Sadlan spoke, many spoke about this. But they don't like, they like only some names twinkling in the media. Fine, is there any... Salaam.
Can you say this is his
ijtihad,
or is he wrong?
I say again,
if someone gives this different opinion or different against those fatawas,
yeah,
on television is all disrespectful, yeah, can he say that this is my ijtihad?
If he is from the people of ijtihad, because ijtihad is only given to certain people, not anybody. Ijtihad is only for those who are yani, qualified for it. They have the qualifications. They are perfect in the Arabic language, in grammar, in linguistic, in vocabulary. Ijtihad? Lala.
He is
all jurisdiction.
He is all jurisdiction. He is all verdict.
His own version? There is a word for it in English, you say. Is that a dispersion or say?
Yeah, after Vincent, after
Jewish. Dispersion? Jurisdiction.
No, no.
Ah. Hey, first of all, these qualified for ijtihad. It's not anybody can do ijtihad. Anybody can do ijtihad, but in a limited parameter. You, as a simple man, you can do ijtihad. How ijtihad? You are praying, and now on the way you are driving to Medina and stopped in the desert. You do ijtihad to know where is the Qibla. No? That's you? Okay. You do ijtihad on yani, which alim is better to go and ask. Yeah, okay. But to do ijtihad on the issues of knowledge, the one who does ijtihad in these issues, we have something called mujtahid mutlaq. He is the one the one who can do ijtihad in anything, in any field, in any matter, and this is the one who is qualified in every matter, in every field, excellent in every field. And if you speak to him about hadith, about fiqh, about aqidah, about usul, about language, about mustalah, about, he knows. Naam? And he is witnessed by the ulama of his time that he is a real big alim. Then yes. Naam? Not because he carries PhD, because we know how these things, faculty or masters or PhD, how they are taken. It's nothing. It doesn't mean that he is somebody who has yani big ilm. He must have ilm. I don't say that he doesn't have ilm, but it's not necessarily he is known by fearing Allah. He doesn't manipulate. How when he is with him? That's not correct. This is not alim. It's not alim. Now, the alim always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Now, based on this, we say this mujtahid, real mujtahid, if he gives an opinion opposite of what we mentioned, we say this is a mistake of that respected alim. Let me give you an example. During the time of the Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein captured Kuwait, he entered into it and took it, the ulama said that this is not allowed and it is permissible for the Muslim rulers to push him away by whatsoever. If they have no power to push him, they can't even seek help from the kuffar. Our noble muhaddith of this time, our most beloved alim, Sheikh Albani, took a different position. We did not hate him. We did not speak evil about him. We did not say, no, he is not mujtahid to say this. No, he is mujtahid. But this was a mistake, because a mujtahid is still human. Can be right, can be wrong. Sahaba, who are the best mujtahids, found some right, some wrong. Not all the time can a person be 100% right. That's only prophets and messengers. Now, so this alim will say he is a mujtahid, but this ijtihad is wrong. This ijtihad is wrong. Allahu a'lam.
Can I just follow,
sir? So, sure.
For example, if this alim who's mujtahid and he gives the power that you can rebel and how?
If he gave fatawa with no knowledge, based on desire, yes, the blood is in his heart. But if it is based on ijtihad that Allah Ta'ala permitted him to reach, none of them is counted as guilty. True, if we have one scholar have his opinion and then we have two, three scholars have their different opinion and each one is presenting it, دليل, it must be with those, because Allah Ta'ala says وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ plural. So we take the, let me just change this. نحتاج أن نقفله نقفل بعدين فلوزك المرة الماضية ما انتبهنا له. هذا الفري في اللي شد تدفع أفضل لأنك ما تدفع لما تدفع ما يحددوا لك يفتح. لأنه هو يعطيك 120 دقيقة وفي إمكانية تزيد إلى كمان ساعة تصير 180 دقيقة. هذا اللي مجانا، لكن إذا بفلوس تروح انت حر. إيش هذا؟ يفتح الآن شوي. ما تفهم باركي؟
ما بعيدة
صراحة. إيش هو فيصل؟ فيصل كلمه؟ عبد الفقار كلمه. طيب نبدا ان شاء الله.
شو نقطه
تفضل.
maybe some of the people basically they use the statement from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu
anhu. Yeah, the one
the famous statement when he said he was put, he said, "I was put in charge of you, I'm not the best amongst you, but you know, if I make a mistake, correct me and all these things." They use this statement somehow to allow some sort of like of demonstrations, but to allow that the people can speak loudly and expose and things like that. However, the point, because I was reading something on the internet last time and somebody mentioned this, and the point as you mentioned earlier, the sad thing, most of these demonstrations and demonstrators are only asking for one thing actually, as you said, is a better life and all these things. When in fact, actually, when we look at all these demonstrations, we haven't seen anyone actually who stood up, even though it's wrong, but stood up and say, no, we're not applying the Sharia, we're not asking for this, we want things to change to a better Islamic way rather than other things. And that's the comment I would be wanting.
That's correct. Many people use this. I heard from Abu Bakr, and they say that this is... and a possibility of speaking out openly against the rulers. As I say, first of all, did Abu Bakr used to speak to the public? He was speaking to the Sahaba like Abu Bakr, like Umar, Uthman, Talha ibn Ubaydillah, who are the Shura. And did he tell them, if you see me mistaking in distributing money or in the Sharia, if I am not implementing the Sharia? And did the Sahaba understand from that they go and fight? If this is the case, why at the time of Uthman they did not fight? Because Uthman, due to ijtihad, he hired some of his some of Bani Umayyah, who has been accused drink khamr, for example. So they lost their qualification. But the Sahaba were living there. Ali was there. Osama was there. And many other Sahaba. Ibn Umar and many others. Ibn Abbas, many, many others. Why they did not go with the Khawarij? Who killed Uthman? Only the Khawarij killed Uthman. So this, to them, means this is not the way. As Osama said, when they told him, don't you go and advise this man, meaning Uthman, because he bought some of Bani Umayyah as governors. And to them, to those Khawarij, these ones are not qualified to be governors. So Osama said, is it that every time I go advise him, I come to you and I tell you that advice him? Then this is not an advice. It's not an advice. So this is, we have to gather them all. At first, I'm not so sure if the author of Abu Bakr is authentic. I'm not so sure. Not now. I'm not so sure. But if it is authentic, we need to understand it all together with the other asar from the Sahaba. It's not just take one thing and go. It's like the one who says, where Allah Ta'ala said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, and woe to those who pray. خلاص. If woe to the people who pray, then you have to complete it. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتٍ سَعُونَ, those who are ignoring their salah. Yeah? But Allah Musta'an, people, as the Sheikh Albani said, and they always try to give some of permissibility and legislation to what. Don't these ulama understand it? Don't they know? Don't they understand it? Why they are advising opposite of what you say? Or you are more knowledgeable than them, you fear Allah Ta'ala more than them, you love for the ummah more than them? If anybody says so, believe me, he's a liar. If anybody says that he's more knowledgeable than Albani, Ibn Baz, Uthaymeen, Fawzan, like this, and he worries for the Ummah more than them, and he fears Allah more than them, take it from me, he's only liar. is on an ayah. First of all, because he's recommending himself, oh, I am better than them. And this proves that he is a liar and maybe a hypocrite. Because the real believer never put himself above the others. And that's why we found Albani. I said to Albani, I said to Ibn Baz, I said to Uthaymeen, in private sittings even, and in public. They are very humble, very simple. They don't see that, oh, we are above you. They speak to you like one of them. I sat with them even on food. I ate with Albani, mashallah, normal, simple, like if I'm eating with any one of my friends. Well, Ibn Baz, same thing. They don't have kibr. They don't think that they are above anybody else. Albani said fatawa that contradicts with the fatawa of Ibn Baz. For example, I'll give you an example. Albani used to like speed driving. And he was told that Ibn Baz said that who's killed in a car accident because he's over speeding, then he is someone who suicide himself. Sheikh Albani laughed and he said, this is the fatwa of the one who cannot drive, who cannot see. Because Sheikh Ibn Baz is blind, he cannot drive. Then it was said to Sheikh Ibn Baz. Sheikh Ibn Baz laughed and he said, no. His fatwa is the fatwa of someone who has the blood money. He has the blood money and he doesn't care when car accident happens and he kills someone, he pays. And they laughed both. No one said, I know better than him. And the issues of, for example, fasting Saturday. Sheikh Ibn Baz says something, Sheikh Albani says something else. And moon sighting. One say regional, one say international. But they still, no one says, no, take mine because I know more than him. I'm better than him. No. However, they all, Ibn Albani, Ibn Uthaymeen and Ibn Baz were together in one tent in Mina. 1 year. In year 1410 of the Hijra calendar. And when those prayer came, usually who leads the prayer is Sheikh Ibn Baz, because that the place, the mosque of his. Sheikh Ibn Baz asked Albani to lead the prayer. Then Albani said, no, Sheikh, you are our Sheikh. He said, no, you lead us. Then Sheikh Albani looked to him and he said, yes, Sheikh, you want me to lead in the way of Rasulullah, or you want me lead him in a way? He said, no. Show us, teach us what is the sunnah. See how humble they are. Ibn Baz is telling him, teach us what is the sunnah of Rasulullah. He did not say, no, take my opinion because I know more than you. Albani didn't say, Sheikh, I will only pray the way of Rasulullah because I know more than you. He never said that, akhi. These are the real ulama. These are the real ulama. Not like one, and I have no hesitation to mention his name, Arifi, in a khutbah two Fridays ago. The whole khutbah was about politics and about this Qaddafi, and he's the one who really said tuf to the face of Qaddafi. He's the one who said Mubarak and, Barack Obama and Sarkozy. And he said their words, but the Muslim rulers, they are still quiet, this. And then he said, he wanted to mention some rulers' names, Muslim rulers. He said, I don't want to bring them to the member by mentioning their names. Now, he's not like them. And he is the one who said, these ulama have to fear Allah. MashaAllah, you fear Allah more than them. These who say, these demonstrations are not permissible, they fear Allah. MashaAllah, you know you fear Allah more than them? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. But anyway, as I told you, we have to stick to the sunnah and to the way of the ulama, wallahu a'lam.